we've been sharing with you these last several weeks about the Holy Spirit. We started with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're kind of working our way now through the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. When you give your life to Christ, we've been saying this, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. He's the one who recreates you on the inside, makes you a new creation in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And, of course, the point is he takes up lordship in our lives.
Come on.
He's meant to take up. You know, he's Savior and Lord. We call Jesus Savior and Lord. So he wants to take up lordship in our life. Of course, that's up to us also to yield lordship to him. But salvation, we've been saying, is the beginning of a lifelong walk with the Holy Spirit. And as we learn who we are in Christ, which we must learn who we are in Christ because we've been given a new identity.
Yes.
He's made us a new creation. We have his nature on the inside of us. And we have to learn about all that we've been given by the grace of God.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is a grace gift. He's been given to us, to sinners. We're not deserving, but we're given the Holy Spirit as a gift. And really, he has many gifts to give us. This is why we've been talking about the baptism. The Holy Spirit is a gift. And then there are gifts mentioned in the Bible. And really, the more you read and the more you hear and open your heart to understand and obey what you hear, because it's important, of course, to be a doer of that word, the more faith is going to start to grow on the inside of you. And you're going to find your life is changing. How many of you would say that's been happening in my life? Like the more I read and hear and I start to obey and step out, it's like, whoa, if you look back a year in your life and you go, I'm a different person. I'm changing.
Come on.
Which is what the point is about our Christian walk. Our lives are supposed to be transformed.
Yes.
As we renew our mind to the Word of God. And then we truly find out, we've been looking at that scripture, Ephesians 2:10, that we are God's workmanship. That this new creation is his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's foreordained for our lives. And that's really pretty exciting when you think about it, that God has foreordained good works for your life. And much of our good works, as we talk about this, I'm convinced that, you know, much of our good works are meant to be worked out just in our everyday life. Yeah. Sometimes we think, I'm ordained and foreordained for good works that God's planned for me. And then we sort of want something huge. You've called me to this, you know, to stand before thousands or something
there
like
go.
That. But much of the good works that God has foreordained in our lives are about learning to love others like Jesus loved us.
Come on.
When we could do that, that's a good work. Anybody that you live with would say, no, that's a good work. Or forgiving others like Jesus has forgiven us.
Come on.
Learning to forgive others and reconcile with others like Jesus has forgiven us. Or being patient with people like Jesus has been. We learn, man, Lord, you've been patient with me. Then he's like, yeah, you have my nature on the inside of you. Now you be patient with others. That's a good work.
Come on.
And we know how good that is in our families when that starts to work, isn't it? Be humble, kind. It's really the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
To operate in self-control when you feel like getting out of control. And the whole atmosphere changes, like let's say in your home. So self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. These are all very much a part of the good works that God's called
Amen.
Us to do. And when we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, like we say, we're called to do good works through the Spirit. It doesn't sound all that exciting. At least at first it didn't to us.
No.
We were like, I thought this was about mountain-moving faith.
Yeah, come on now.
How many of you have ever thought like
yeah.
that when you first?
Blind
it doesn't,
eyes open, everything, yeah.
Right, yeah. It doesn't sound or feel as exciting as operating in mountain-moving faith.
The harder part is loving, walking in love and forgiveness and adjusting your attitudes.
Yeah.
So, can I hear an amen? Yeah.
I mean, you may operate. God may move on your heart.
True.
And you have a gift of faith. And
yeah.
there's something you see in your life that's supernaturally powerful. A mountain does move
yes.
in your life. That's awesome. But if we don't walk in love, Scripture tells us, really that faith in God's eyes is nothing.
Right.
You know, like if you have faith, well, I operate in gifts of the Spirit. I can speak in tongues and these things that we've been talking about. And then you treat your spouse and your family like trash. You know, it's like, well, the Lord's like, that doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah.
All these other super spiritual sides of things.
Come on.
And so learning to respond and walk in love with people around us the way Jesus has with us is a major part of the good life and the good works that we're called to do mm-hmm. and ordained to do. Yet, you know, we're talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given us gifts, and he even tells us, earnestly desire these gifts.
Right.
So it's not one or the other. Well, forget about the gifts, which I think for the most part, in a lot of the Americanized church, that's what's happened. We've just kind of intellectualized everything. We have all this heady knowledge, and it's like, well, we don't really need supernatural gifts because we could figure this all out on our own. But God has said, pursue love. Like this is actually not the scripture, but if you're open there to 1 Corinthians 12, go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1, a couple chapters, and it says, pursue love. See, Paul is saying it's not one or the other, pursue love. In other words, practice love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts.
There's a marriage right there.
There's the marriage of the two of them together. So it's not one or the other. We are to pursue love and earnestly still desire the spiritual gifts. And that's what we'll be talking about today. Should we pray before we begin?
Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they're for equipping your church.
Yes.
And we know that you want to have a strong church, Lord. We want it to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We know that. But we ask you to illuminate our darkness, our lack of understanding about these gifts. We earnestly desire these gifts. We would like to have an experiential knowledge of these gifts. Not just read about them, but practice these gifts. And we ask you to move through your entire global church with these gifts, Lord, but especially here at Community Life Church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So last week we began looking at the nine gifts of the Spirit. You're turned back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now let's take a look at verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Or your Bible might say misinformed. God didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts, and I don't believe he wants the church now to be ignorant of the spiritual gifts either, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. We've got to admit that ignorance does exist. I was in church all my life, never heard about these gifts until I was 35 years old. And so we don't want the people of this church to be ignorant of the gifts at all. And some have tried to define these gifts, like Pastor Mamie was saying, some have tried to define these gifts with a natural mind. And other people have said that, well, you know what, they've actually taught us that the gifts are done, we don't need the gifts anymore. You know, they've been done away with, the Holy Spirit has taken them back. But you cannot find a scripture anywhere in the Bible that says these gifts are over. The only time these gifts will be removed is when perfect comes.
Yeah.
Has anybody read the headlines? perfect is not here. Can I hear an amen? And the scripture declares faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so we want our faith to arise to have expectation of these gifts. Mm-hmm. And we want to make ourselves available to these gifts. Amen. Mm-hmm. And we want the genuine. We're not going to make things up. We want the genuine. We want God to move in a way that blesses this local body of believers. Amen. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Can I hear another amen?
Come on.
Get up here.
Amen, girl. That's right.
Oh, praise God. And the Bible declares that he is the one who distributes these gifts. These gifts we do not have. They're given as the Spirit wills. Now, there are motivational gifts that are found in Romans chapter 12. And those are our gifts. They're the makeup of who you are. It's kind of entwined with your personality. And we looked at that in a couple weeks ago, and if you haven't taken your time to take a look at those things, you can find on our YouTube channel. But let's take a look. Let's go to verse 4 here now. Verse 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. Again, it goes, these gifts will manifest in a variety of ways through a variety of people, but the source of it is God, the Holy Spirit. So we just let him do what he wants to do and just make ourselves available to it. In verse 7, let's jump to verse 7 here. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So gifts are given to each one, and it's not, he's not giving these gifts to everybody, just those who the Spirit wills. And, you know, this is for what? The profit of all of us, the local assembly. When these are manifest, they're going to bless us. They're going to help us in our daily walk with Christ. It's going to draw us closer to Christ. And these gifts will also manifest out when you're being a witness to Christ. Don't just think it happens only at the church. Thank you, John. And these gifts
anywhere.
Are... Go ahead.
No, so it can happen anywhere, just in your home.
That's right.
The street.
And it's not always for everybody to hear. Sometimes those words come for you to make the next steps with God. Mm-hmm. Or they come to you so that you pray about the situation, not just go blab it. You just ask to God, is this public or is this private, Lord? Let me know. It's really important. Mm-hmm. And these gifts are not to bring attention to some man or woman. They're to bring attention to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. For sure. And they're to build up the church. That's mm-hmm. what he's doing with these gifts. He wants the church to be strong, like we said, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. That's power. Praise God. Let's look at verse 8 now. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Again, I want to make this clear. These are not gifts that we have. We're blessed with them when the Holy Spirit allows us to operate in these gifts. I do say when you do operate in these gifts, you should ask him for more and ask him to teach you about it. Don't just blow it off. Well, that was cool. No, Lord, teach me more. I want to know more. You know, this is important.
Yeah.
It is important for us because we all want to grow in these things. Amen?
Yeah.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we hear about these things, we can exercise our faith for them. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And again, it's as the Spirit wills.
So when you begin to study these gifts, you find sometimes that they've been divided into three categories.
Yes.
And so we thought you might find this interesting, that there are revelation gifts, gifts that reveal something. Like God's knowledge comes to you in a clarity. This is what we're going to talk about today, the word of knowledge. But it would be the word of wisdom, because we said last week is this is revealing something about future events in the mind of God that he wants you to know. A word of knowledge and discerning of spirits, which is revealing good and evil spirits that are at work.
Yeah.
And then there are power gifts, we would call them, gifts that do something and carry power, a gift of faith. When we say mountain moving faith, you know, it's faith for someone to be healed, or a working of miracles, gifts of healings. Those are we would say power gifts that do something.
Yeah.
And then the other three are more of an utterance gift. They are saying something. Prophecy is, of course, speaking. You're saying, talking about the divine will and purpose of God. Mm-hmm. You're prophesying. Or diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's actually equal to prophecy.
Right.
But someone has to get up and say something in an unknown tongue, and then someone interprets. And so those three gifts would be more of saying something. And then, so we explained last week, just to recap, to bring everybody kind of up to the same place, the word of wisdom, we said, this isn't referring to natural wisdom.
Right.
And sometimes we gain a lot of wisdom from reading the word of God.
Come on.
You can sometimes feel sound smarter than you are. Because you're just applying the wisdom that's here. Don't do that because God says this will happen. It can sound really wise, and it is, but it's not a word of wisdom.
Right.
Like, in other words, if you're talking to somebody, they're sharing some problem with you, and you know what Scripture says, and you just relate to them, well, God says this and this about that kind of situation, and maybe if you try this in your life, and you're explaining something that is mm-hmm. scriptural, and that person might walk away and go, wow, that person has the gift of wisdom. They just seem to know what to say and how to apply it. Well, it's true. We could all get wiser as we read the word of God.
Come on.
But that's really not what the supernatural word of wisdom is, because it's supernatural. It's above the natural wisdom.
Right.
So it's given by the Holy Spirit concerning the future plan and will of God.
Right.
We gave some examples last week, like how God gave Paul a supernatural word of wisdom when he told him, when he was on that journey to go to Rome, and he said, I perceive, it's like the Holy Spirit's showing me, this voyage is going to be with much hurt and damage to the cargo and
right.
the ship and the men. And that word did come to pass. And then we talked about Agabus, the prophet, in Acts 21, who was given a word about the Apostle Paul. He said, you know, this man, when he goes from city to city, he goes to Jerusalem, you know, they're going to bind him like this, and he actually demonstrated it, you know, with a belt to bind himself. In other words, imprisonment right. and hardship is awaiting this man as he travels and goes on his journey. And it did happen, mm-hmm. certainly in Jerusalem, and it eventually played out like that in Rome.
Right.
And when you just start looking in the Bible, you see a lot of, like, Apostle John, for instance, who penned the book of Revelation when he was on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, the entire book is prophetic.
Amen.
It's just, in fact, the first verses of that, if you read it, it says, blessed is the person who reads this prophecy in the assembly. So the whole book is a prophetic word foretelling of things to come. But it's also filled with types of words of knowledge about,
yes.
in other words, the current condition of churches. When you read chapters 2 and 3, he begins to explain that. And if certainly we know it's prophetic words of wisdom about things that are going to happen
right.
in the future. And it's all coming to him by way of discerning of spirits. You know, he sees in the spirit realm. Like, you read Revelation, it's apocalyptic. I mean, there's just so many things that are happening. Good spirits, evil spirits. He sees Jesus in that first chapter in all of his glory standing before him. He hears his voice. It says, like, the sound of many waters. You know, I think no wonder John fell dead at his feet. It was like, there's a lot of supernatural stuff happening to take in. But the supernatural is real. I don't know that any of us are ever going to experience what the Apostle John experienced. But the supernatural is real in
yes.
a Christian's life. We need to be aware of that so that we're not afraid of it or think that, well, it's all been done away with, because there's no scripture that says that. The reason I believe we don't see a lot of it is because we've shut our mind down to it.
Right.
We don't hear it taught. We don't, you know, people aren't reading the word of God. And so we could just become blinded to it, very dull to it.
For sure.
But we see it in the Old Testament. In Noah, God gave certainly a word of wisdom,
yep.
build me an ark for a future deluge of rain that was going to come on the earth. Joseph had a dream about the future of Israel, where his brothers would all bow down to him. So the word of wisdom is giving supernatural wisdom about something that's going to happen in a life, in a situation, in the future.
In the future. Today we're going to look at the word of knowledge, Just like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge is not gained through study. It's not natural wisdom, natural knowledge about a subject or a person or a circumstance. This is the gift of knowledge is actually, it's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God about the past and the present. Word of wisdom is about the future. Word of knowledge is about the past or the present. And all of these gifts, all nine gifts, are supernatural gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And this is really important for us when we do read the Bible, to be aware of what is happening in the Bible, and you'll see how supernatural the Bible really is. And again, chapter 12, it's not natural wisdom. It's all above the natural realm. It's supernatural. Amen? In the word of knowledge, you know, let's consider John on the Isle of Patmos. You know, he writes this letter, and he writes to seven churches. Seven churches. Now, just to let you know, there were no cell phones then. In order to get a communication to somebody in the distance, you had to actually walk there and tell him or carry a letter and say, here. But John knew the current conditions of these churches, and he didn't know it any other way but through the Spirit of God. This is a word of knowledge. He receives this revelation in chapters 2 and 3, and he's trying to help guide these churches back into where God wants them.
Yeah. Like you said, he couldn't possibly have known what he wrote. When you read chapters 2 and 3, that's where you do read about the seven churches that he was given knowledge about. And he writes like about the church of Ephesus. Although the people, he writes, were doing a lot of good works for God, Jesus had said, but you've left your first love for me. And so you need to repent. So he's writing this down, he's getting, you know, this information about a current state of the church. God gave him a word of knowledge about the church in Pergamum. He warned them about false teaching that was in the church. And that people were listening to it. And that was another reason he's saying to repent. Again, John didn't know these things. How could he know? He's on the Isle of Patmos, banished there for teaching the word of God. And he's given this knowledge. Then there, I mean, when you read it, that church in Thyatira, word of knowledge about a spirit of Jezebel, or Jezebel who was in the church, leading people astray, leading the leadership astray, causing division in the church, causing people to walk in sexual immorality and not care. He told that church to repent. It's pretty surprising, out of seven churches, he tells five of them, y'all need to repent. It's like, so the church in Laodicea was another one that he said was
another
a lukewarm
rebuke.
Church.
Yeah. It's that they became lukewarm. They kind of said everything is cool. He said that, and this church was a large church, and they had finances. They had just about everything they needed. Yeah. And they were kind of like, yeah, we're cool. And Jesus said, well, maybe on the natural you're cool, but let me tell you what spiritually you look like. You're poor, blind, and naked. They're told to repent. To repent. See, this is supernatural. There's a difference between the natural realm and the supernatural realm.
Yeah.
And what really motivates the natural realm is the supernatural realm. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
And so this is how we have to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit so that we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. Remember what Pastor Mamie said earlier? She said that, you know, if you're not walking in love at home and then all of a sudden you lose control and it's like changing the atmosphere, we all know that. Don't look at me so religious out there.
We're the only ones without problem, I guess.
But just the same way, when we are operating in these gifts of the Spirit, that's a supernatural insight, and we can change the atmosphere and situations.
Yeah.
That's, again, a good work that Pastor Mamie was talking about.
Sometimes I think in America we rely on systems, the political system.
Come on.
And things to fix things. But actually it's a war between good and evil. And when we understand we've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit, we're on the good side, and we have power to manifest good, overcome evil with good. That's our victory.
For
sure. But if we don't understand that there's a spiritual side to this, and we try to do everything, you know, in the natural, like people put all their hope in a political system.
Wrong.
Well, I'm a Republican, they're going to do it. I'm a Democrat, they're going to do it.
No, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work that way.
Not till King Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom.
We have
kingdom.
To be able to see and look out at the world and judge things according to the Spirit of God, the biblical viewpoint.
Yes.
Or a worldly viewpoint. And when we start doing that, that's whenever we walk in more wisdom from God. And
see, what right now, the way we're living is going to determine what we're going to do in eternity. See, right now, you and I are being trained to rule and reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. And so we can't just fall into one of these, one of the conditions that you see the churches in the book of Revelation. But the truth is, you see those conditions right now in the church age all over the place.
Yeah, actually, when you read about those churches, and you should, go read Revelation chapter 2 and 3.
Yeah.
It describes...
Read the whole book.
Well, yeah, you could. 1, 2, and 3. Describing the condition of the churches. That still applies to the whole church age.
For sure.
It really is a present word. I mean, it's kind of interesting how this is in Scripture, because Jesus will say, today is the day of salvation. Well, we're still living in today. So it's still a present word for us
Amen.
To apply. And you can see the problems in the state of the church.
And we have to take heed to how he said what to do, how to fix things. You know, return to our first love. Don't be so lukewarm. You know, repent. You know, I don't want to do this anymore, Lord. Help me. I ask you to forgive me. I want to walk with you. I want to be prepared for what you have prepared for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Are we talking to the right people?
Yes.
Come on.
We are. Yeah. So turn to Acts chapter 9. We're
going to
look at an example here of a word of knowledge. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 10. This is when God gives Ananias a word of knowledge about Saul, who we later find out, you know, that's Paul, that's the Apostle Paul.
You know, Acts chapter 9, you have to go back to the front of the Bible, toward the front.
Back to the front.
You get it? Yeah. Back to the front of the Bible, Acts chapter 9. You'll get it. You'll get it.
It's an insult. Yeah. Just, use your Bible tab and you'll know just where to go. Okay.
You'll be moving back to the front of the Bible.
What were you going to say about that?
I just wanted to give them direction.
Oh. Supernatural. Okay, are you there in Acts chapter 9, verse 10? Yeah. Ananias is told by God through a word of knowledge about what to do here and how to go and minister to Paul. In Acts 9:10, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision. Now, here's the word of knowledge came to a disciple in a vision, but he understands. It's a word of understanding. And take note, like, he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He didn't stand in some office. He was a disciple, it says.
Yes.
Like we all are disciples.
Amen.
In Acts 9, verse 11, and the Lord said to Ananias, said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he's praying, and he's seen in a vision. This is interesting because Paul's having a supernatural experience,
which
too.
Is a word of wisdom that he's having right
word,
now.
Yeah. That he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Paul had been blinded at this point after he fell off his horse on the way. So Ananias couldn't have known in the natural
right
about this scenario, but he knew it by a supernatural
come on.
word of knowledge. It's like he had a fact known to him all of a sudden. There's a man praying on this certain street. I want you to go and lay hands on him so that he would, of course, the scales would fall off of his eyes.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And receive the Holy Spirit.
Now go to Acts chapter 5, which is turning.
To the left.
Turning to the left.
Or if you're scrolling, if you're, what about the scrollers? Yeah.
That's good. Turn to the left now. Acts chapter 5. Now we're going to see here, the church is just starting off, and Peter is receiving a word of knowledge about a couple who had lied about the amount of money that they were giving to the church. This guy's name was Ananias also. Not the same Ananias. This is a different guy. Ananias, the first one we read about, was in Damascus. This is in Jerusalem.
Must have been a popular name. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But a man named, let's pick it up in verse 1. Did I tell you to go to verse 1? It says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to, where is it? I'm reading in my mind. I'm reading my Bible, not this one. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? This is a word of knowledge coming to Peter. It's a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit concerning facts in the mind of God that are present or past. In verse 4, while it remained unsold, listen, this is instruction, while it remained unsold, did it not remain unsold? Yours. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you've contrived this deed in your heart and you've lied not to man but to God? This is really for us good to understand. Well, first of all, we see a word of knowledge coming to Peter. So this man, he held back certain things.
Yeah, he might have said, well, we sold a piece of property and here it is, the entire worth to use. Let the church use it however they want to use it.
Because this was happening in the early church. People would be selling properties and bringing it. I sold my property. Here's the proceeds. And you can read, it says Barnabas was another one who did the same thing. But I think that these guys were kind of trying to, you know, look good.
And, God gives them a word of knowledge about it. Like, well, you're lying.
Right. And Peter said, you could have just given part of it. You didn't have to give it all. Don't tell us that you gave it all.
Yeah. I mean, maybe their motive, I imagine, you know, their motive was probably to be well thought of, admired by others. They knew that other people sold maybe a large piece of property, and in their generosity, they gave it to the church. So it's like, let's do the same thing too. But then I guess once the money got in their hand, it's like, well, we could probably use some of this, but we'll say that we gave everything.
Right.
Apparently, because Peter just says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? That had to be a shocking moment. Verse 5, we'll take a look at verse 5. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it.
I guess so.
The young men rose, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. Yeah. Whoa. Then only hours later, if you keep reading that, it says his wife Sapphira comes. She comes in and says, same thing happens to her. She says, yes, we sold it for this amount of money, which was a lie.
Yeah.
And she died. She fell dead. Both of them fell dead in the same day. Now, that's some church atmosphere that you're going to hear about this. Did you hear what happened to the church offering? Like, whoa. Fear God had to strike everybody there about what they were doing. You know, we were laughing about taking up, you were mentioning about taking up an offering.
Yeah, Jason be standing back Jason's, there by the box.
Yeah. Is that your tithe?
Is that the whole tithe? Yes, it is!
Or no, it's not. Yeah, right. but, you know, when we think about these things happening, that's pretty supernatural.
Yeah.
And I don't know that any of us are going to maybe have words of knowledge. They may. You may.
Yeah.
That outstanding. But if we bring it to maybe where we are today about word of knowledge, we're not likely, again, to see something that profound. Yet I believe that God has given some of you words of knowledge maybe without your knowing.
For sure, he has.
I mean, consider that possibility that you've been given a word of knowledge you just didn't know mm-hmm. at the time. Like when I'm describing, you had a clarity about something and you just knew what to do. You knew you had an answer in that. It sort of set the sail to the understanding.
Come on.
Maybe you didn't understand it in that terminology, probably didn't. Well, I just had got a word of knowledge from the Lord.
Right.
And you didn't understand it was a gift of the Spirit. But I think this is what we have to keep opening up ourselves to, that the Holy Spirit wants mm-hmm. to show us things about our life, about circumstances, about people, so that we are anchored and we know what to do.
Amen.
We know what path to take or what not path to take. I mean, so some of you may have experienced, I put it this way, like a little small nugget of information about yourself or about someone else, about a situation that the Holy Spirit gave you that you just couldn't possibly have known. It just kind of comes to you.
Right.
Anybody?
Probably pretty much
we've
everybody.
Had a word of knowledge come forth in the service. I think about some weeks ago when Mary said, I felt like God, the Holy Spirit was showing me this week for the church. And, you know, it was spoken out that Sunday. It doesn't have to be something right instant. It can come like that at home. And it's like, I'm going to write this down. It's a word that God is giving to the church. And she spoke it out that week. And again, it's for us to hear and take heed to.
Yeah, correct.
It's not just meant to be an interesting little piece of, oh, you had that happen to you. This is the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. And it's up to us to act upon it.
Yes.
And I thought about that today in worship, because last week you mentioned something about worship, that we could just stand there and do nothing, or we can begin. And I thought that about the word that you gave, whenever that was, maybe 4 or 6 weeks ago, about if you act now, it's like you're going to get on this moving track, like you see at the airports, where if you walk on it, you move faster than if you just walked on the side, that you just go with your own 2 feet without movement. God's going to take you further and faster than what you would do on your own.
Yeah.
Now, I have to wonder, because I thought about that in worship today. It was like, Lord, I wonder how many people in here have remembered that. Because sometimes we do just hear and we forget. Well, our lives are just busy, busy, busy. We just run out. And it
Come
was
on.
Like, what would we have to get used to even taking notes sometimes in a service. It's like, I don't want to forget. Holy Spirit's telling me something here. See, these are supernatural ways that he talks to us. But if we just discard it, which people do,
yep.
we miss out. And then we sometimes wonder, God, where are you? Or God, how come this didn't change? And maybe he's going to remind us, I got your attention there, but you were a forgetful hearer. So we don't want to do that. But a word of knowledge can come like over here in the prayer room when someone's
yeah.
praying for somebody and they just get this impression. Sometimes it's a word of an impression that you get in your mind about the situation, about something in that person's life. It might be, you know, sometimes at home. It could be for yourself. You get
yes.
a word. I remember we were thinking about situations in our own life, and I could remember a time when God gave me a word of knowledge. This was just about something personal I was seeking about, because I had developed over time this a heart skipping arrhythmia. And you know, if you've ever had that, it's not comfortable. It's annoying, and it can make you anxious. Mm-hmm. At some point, just went to the ER over it, and you know, they prescribed. They said, have this heart procedure done and it'll fix it. Well, I had the thing done, and it was better for about 3 days, and then it came back. I was like, what's going on? Go back to the doctor. I said, do you think stress could be causing this? Well, you know, most doctors, stress to them is like just a word. Well, yeah, but here's some medicine. And that's really what he did.
Yeah.
It was like, here, take this pill.
Here's the medicine.
And I took the pill, but the pill didn't help. That arrhythmia was just kept happening, and it was, again, when we were in stressful times, it seemed like there was a season where our daughter was getting married. She lived couple states away, so trying to help her do that. We were establishing the church, trying to help the church grow. And, you know, just when you're dealing with relationships with people, there's always stress involved. And so when that's why I asked the doctor, it was like, could it be stress? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not under much stress. But our bodies have a way of going, yeah. Ding, you know, you're overloading me.
Come on.
And I just got so frustrated and really was getting anxious about it. I just one day went up to my third floor, laid on the floor there, put some prayer music on, and was like, God, help me understand what you're saying to me. Like, give me a word, something. And sometimes you have to get really still to hear a word.
Yes.
And that's what I was doing. It was like, I need you Holy Spirit, you dwell in me. Speak to me. Show me something. So I'm just laying there with that prayer music on. And very much a strong impression of a word just went right through my mind. And the word was striving. And I thought, I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. Like, you're striving in so many ways in your life, in your own strength. You're trying to accomplish a lot in your own strength. And, you know, sometimes we can be doing good things for God, but we're doing it in our own strength. And it just seemed like that was a season for me where it was all between finances and people, relationships, and our daughter and the church. And it was just like, my body, I guess, was saying, stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't walk away from it all, of course, but it helped me as I sought the Lord on it. It was like, teach me, show me how to let go. And so he began to show me, as you're doing things for the Lord, it's like he began to whisper to my heart, like, your mind is in a place of, you're striving, you're trying to get this done. Your determination can be good.
Yes.
But it can also work against us, you know, if we are not doing it in the strength of God. And he also began to show me, you don't have to feel guilty about taking time off. You know, some people take too much time off. And some people need to learn how to take time off.
Yeah.
Learn how to just pull back, have a Sabbath, enjoy a moment, you know, with your kids where the phone isn't ringing and you're not trying to do 16 things at once. And I'm going to run to the store here and I'll be right back. I mean, we even use these words of go, 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 go. And so the Lord was, that one word, striving, really helped me. And I thought that was a word of knowledge. I didn't even look at it that way at the time, but thinking about when has God spoken to us? And even in dreams, God can speak to you through a dream and a word of knowledge. I mean, I know that's happened to me in my life too over things. I'll just tell this.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was dealing with another physical thing in my body. And it wasn't going away. Medical things said, we don't know really why you're still experiencing. It had to do with vertigo. And I had a dream. I mean, again, I was seeking God. Like, you've got to show me, why is this happening? Why is it taking so long? And I had this dream that there was this, like, ugly looking. It was evil. It looked like a cat creature or something, and it was coming at me, and I had this stick, and I smacked it, and the thing's head came off. I mean, it was like, and I saw it roll beside it, but the crazy thing about it was the body kept moving and kept moving and kept moving and wanting to just come towards me, but in the dream, I thought, well, the head's off. There's just no way. That thing's going to die.
Yeah.
That thing's over. You're not going to live without the head on it. And that helped me. I knew what he was saying to me through that dream. It was like, this is going to take some time. Your symptoms are not going to go away instantly.
Right.
But the head of that thing has been cut off. You know, it will die. And that helped me tremendously. And when I look back on it, I feel like that was a word of knowledge.
Amen.
He spoke supernaturally. Sometimes we have dreams like that and we just pass them off. I mean, sometimes we should pass off our dreams. If you wake up and you're like trying to look up for days online, what does this mean? It's not the Lord.
Right.
He'll show it to you. I think you'll know when you wake up.
Yep.
The Lord spoke to me in what he's saying. And so we need to have we need to keep our hearts open, because these gifts are real.
Yes.
And sometimes they're just subtle and we could pass them off. Often it's good, I think, to even have it bear witness with somebody else in the church. Like, what do you think? pray with me about this. I have this word. Does that seem like a word to you?
Does it line up with
Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture?
Yeah.
And that's really the key. Does it line up with Scripture? And, you know, my dream, I remember, because it was David and Goliath. He cut the head of Goliath off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no, when the head is cut off, it's over. And so it took a while, but it was very encouraging to know that, to be reminded of that. That thing is dead. It's dead. Because without that, you could just walk in a lot of fear and worry. Fear and worry, fear and worry. And I could see the Lord was telling me not to. That's not the case.
These gifts, they help us overcome difficulties and troubles in life.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord tells us to earnestly desire the gifts. And we can't earnestly desire something that we don't know anything about. It's like you're boxing the air. Yeah. And as pastors, it's our responsibility before the Lord to teach you, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And that's what we endeavor to do. We're all called to make disciples. These gifts and help, our teaching is to help you go make a disciple so we can all go make a disciple. So we can all go out and manifest the kingdom of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so that we can all do good works that God has ordained for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes with understanding and opening ourselves up to the spirit realm, which is the real realm. Because this whole natural realm, the Bible declares, is going to be burned up. It'll be gone. Yes, I know.
And then the really
good
comes.
It'll be a really great time, I'm telling you what. Because we'll have glorified bodies. Yes. But the key is that we've got to walk in the things that we're learning. We can't be afraid of the spirit realm. Because I was at one point. Because I was on the wrong side for some time. And I saw things that would blow your mind. And I operated in things that blew my mind. But yet then, once I realized that, whoa, this isn't God. This is the enemy. And then I was afraid to go back into that spirit realm because of what I saw and how I operated in and how I was tormented. But the Lord let me understand, no, let's get back and do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world.
Amen.
The devil has no power over you if you're walking in the things of God. He has absolutely no power over you. He's actually afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll... The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. Doesn't say he is a roaring lion. He says he acts like a roaring lion.
Yeah.
And seeking, the truth is, his head's cut off.
It's the truth. It's true. Jesus defeated him completely on the cross. His power has been brought to naught.
That's right.
And so it's a matter for us to keep renewing our mind to that truth. And it's a lifelong journey.
Yes.
It's not going to happen overnight. I do believe, though, the Lord sometimes gives us stronger impressions, and there's a stronger anointing than to believe those things. But this is a lifelong journey. This is why we need one another to walk with and to help one another, pray for one another. And even when you go for prayer, that the prayer team is, you know, listening also for the Holy Spirit. Show me something, anything, Lord, about this person. Give me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And it's happened, yeah. So we're going to close you.
All right.
Well, let's just pause for a moment as we do close out. You know, we're here in an atmosphere where it's quiet. It's often easier to hear the Holy Spirit, especially if you've heard the Word of God preached. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is here. Maybe things he wants to reveal to you.
Yeah.
Speak to your heart. The gifts are real. Holy Spirit is real. And these things operate by faith. And so we have to open up our heart and desire the gifts. We have to tell him, Lord, I do desire I desire these gifts, Lord. I believe they're real. Yeah. I'm asking you to let them flow through my life.
Earnestly desire.
Yeah. These. We ask you, Lord, to manifest yourself here in our midst. To edify the body. It may be to edify just even one person here, but that one person's important.
Yes.
And so speak, Holy Spirit. We just quiet our mind and show us anything. We want to commune deep in our heart with you. You are the revealer of truth. You know everything. We ask you to show us just the fragment, a helpful word. Lord, if there's anything, Holy Spirit, that is hindering, people's lives, maybe things from the past that haunt us. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal a word to that person.
Yes.
Of healing. Healing wounds, memories even from the past. Some of you have grown up in difficult situations. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to do a work in our lives in the days ahead. Come and heal, Lord, broken places. Yeah, fear, anxiety. Just like this song, we speak Jesus over fear and anxiety.
Yes.
Over depression. We bring your name, Jesus, into our life, into the deepest part of places in ourselves that we don't even recognize what's holding us back sometimes. But you know everything.
Yes.
We worship you, Lord. We thank you for healing. We speak Jesus to break every power of darkness. Lord, I pray a fresh wind of your Spirit would blow through our mind and our heart, Lord. Taking away all the things, Lord, that have corrupted and held us captive. Let the light of your word shine in our heart.
Yes, Lord, we renounce the works of the devil.
Yes. Sing this song. Do we have time? Sing the song. The song I speak Jesus. We'll just force you. Rhonda, can we get those words back up? Great. Let's everybody stand up and sing some of this song before we close.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak. speak, Jesus. Your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Break
every stronghold. Shine through the shadows.
Just speaking the name of Jesus. There's no other name under the heaven which man can be saved. It's Jesus. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Lord. If you haven't made Jesus the Prince of your life, the King of your life, I'm asking you to raise your hand because He can forgive you of your sins. He can give you new life. Praise God, praise God. Anyone here want to give their life to Jesus or recommit their life to Jesus? Father God, I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in the lives of the people of Community Life Church. We give you glory, glory, glory.